Yeah. I'm a creative type. Now, Brunskills, do you guys have that Easter kit? Have you guys been going through that Easter kit thing?
What?
No. Okay. So part of the Easter kit that we put together for families in the church was a series of activities that families could go through. And so we made one for ourselves as well, and we took it home. And some of the activities were kind of fun. Some of them were a little, I want to say lame, but they're designed for children. So he loved it. I just kind of sat there. But there was one activity, and what it was he had a little canvas. And what we did was we put, for anyone who's even remotely artistic, maybe you've done something like this in the past, we put a painter's tape cross on the front of the canvas. And then what he was supposed to do is just paint random stripes of colors all across the tape, all around the edges of it, so that when you peel the tape off, it's kind of like a negative white cross there, if you can picture that in your head. And so we're trying to walk my son through this. We're trying to say, this is what you do. Just draw random lines. It doesn't matter. You're not trying to do something, but just draw random. And he was not being able to grasp it. He was not being able to understand it. So he's like drawing random shapes, and he's putting black splotches on it. And we're like, no. You gotta paint these things. And then all of a sudden he draws some lines, and he goes, look, Daddy, it's Jesus on the cross. And he'd drawn like a little Jesus sitting there on the cross. And then he took some orange and he put two dabs, one on each hand and two dabs on his feet. And he said, and those are the nails. And then he painted his body blue because, of course. And then, but then one thing that he did.
Easter activity.
That was your Easter activity. Thank you for reminding us. I love my son. So, but then all these black splotches that he'd been putting everywhere, he was mixing water in, and he's just making a big mess of all these black splotches, and we're trying to get him to stop, and he goes, no, these are all the sins. These are our sins being taken and put onto Jesus. And I spent this whole time trying to tell him, you know, you're doing this wrong. But at the end, I looked at Catherine and I said, maybe we're the ones that are doing this wrong at this point, you know? Like, he's straight up painting the gospel message, and we're trying to stop him because it doesn't line up with what we're expecting. So when we talk about Jesus and we talk about the cross, Jesus spent a lot of time walking around earth and doing things. And every problem that he tended to have with people tended to arise from this idea that people looked at him and they didn't see what he was. They saw what they wanted him to be. This idea, they called Jesus the Messiah in Hebrew or Greek, and they called it the Christ. That's why there's those two different names. And in either word, it means the same thing. The Jews were expecting the Messiah to come and deliver them. They were expecting the Messiah to come and overthrow the real problem. Well, at the time, the Jews, the nation of Israel, was in slavery to Rome. That they were allowed to have their own country, they were sort of allowed to have their own priests, but the Romans randomly came in and deposed them anyways. And so the Jews had held up this idea of Rome as the ultimate problem. They'd said, you know what, Rome is the reason that we're not free. Rome is the reason that we're not our own country, and we're not blessed by God, that it's Rome. And so Jesus is walking around, and part of the reason that he didn't want anybody to know he was the Messiah is because of this. He expected people to turn around and pick him up and throw him on their shoulders and take him to try and go fight the Romans. Or that they expected him to try and crucify him and kill him. So a lot of people had this really bad idea of who the Messiah was. And it's in this context that Jesus is walking around, and it's in this context that Jesus gets crucified. So when it came to the end, after all of his miracles, after all of his stories, they take Jesus and they go through this really fake, false trial, and it's just a massive mess. If you read the story, they're throwing false accusations at him and they're trying to catch him in lies, and they're not able to catch him. And eventually the people are just saying, you know what, we want him dead. It doesn't matter why, we want him dead. So it's through this process that Jesus gets led to the cross and he gets crucified. And one thing that I wanted to highlight about this, because we tend to hear this story an awful lot, that Jesus gets crucified, he gets hung up on the cross, and after 3 days he comes back. But I wanted to highlight Something that happened while he was on the cross that I think really kind of gives us a little bit more of an insight of what's going on. And that's in Matthew 27, verses 39 to 43. And I'll have it up here on the screen. And so it says this. Those who passed by hurled insults at him being Jesus on the cross, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you're the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I'm the Son of God.'" And so the problem here was that people were coming at him and saying, you know, if you're really the Messiah, you could get yourself down. If you were really the Messiah, you could ask God and he could move you. And that's true. God has the power to be able to pull Jesus down from the cross. God has the power to be able to heal the wounds that he took from the nails. But the problem is that the cross wasn't the problem. Death and sin was the problem. So the cross seems cruel. It seems violent and it seems unnecessary. And it seems like someone shouldn't have to suffer like that. But the thing is that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of being perfect. We've all fallen short of being directly connected to God perfectly at all times. And I think we all realize this. Especially, I want to say, as people who are parents, people who have had children. Children show us that in our nature is both good and evil. My son is capable of incredibly generous and awesome things, and he's also capable of incredibly cruel things. And I see this in everyone. And they say that this is just human nature, but I think it's more than that. So the real problem isn't that the Jews were being oppressed by Rome. The real problem isn't that we've got a flaw and we're trying to work over it. The real problem is that there's a darkness inside of us, and this darkness has caused a disconnect between us and God, and this disconnect has brought something with it that we never anticipated, and that was death. And you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God creates Adam and Eve, and they're walking around, and he says, you know, you can have all the fruits of all the trees in the garden, but don't touch this one. Don't touch the one that's the knowledge of good and evil. Because the day that you take evil into yourself is the day that you die. And so they took the fruit, they brought evil into their nature, they were cast out of the garden, and they died. And that's the truth of it, is that they died. Death came into the world. Adam would never have died if he hadn't disobeyed God in that sense. So this disobedience that we have in us, this natural state to try and resist doing the good thing, it brings death with it. It brings brokenness with it. And it's a death that's baked permanently into our nature thanks to sin. It's something that none of us can avoid. That's the great equalizer, is that sooner or later we will all die. And if we're honest with ourselves, we recognize that problems, that bad things, that they have a consequence attached to them. We like to believe that they don't. We like to believe that people can just be who they want to be, and whether they're good people or bad people, and we all just kind of schluff it in the end. But the fact is that we recognize that bad choices have a consequence. We recognize that doing the wrong thing brings the wrong thing. So we were all built to have this direct relationship with God, but God is completely pure, completely holy, and as long as we're not, we can't have that direct connection. We can't have that connection with God. And the Bible literally says if we're exposed to God in our sinful state, that we'll die. Moses was one of the holiest men in the Bible. He followed God faithfully for almost his entire life. And God spoke to him as one person speaks to a friend. And then one day Moses goes to God and he says, I want to see your face. And God says, no one can see my face and live. So that's because of our sinfulness. We can't have a connection to God as long as we've got this darkness inside of us. So there's something that's in each one of us, something that disconnects us from God. And that disconnection brings death, and it brings it for eternity. And we're not comfortable with this idea with ourselves. We're not comfortable with the idea that our brokenness, what we call our human nature, is actually not a good thing. And that it can bring a real and eternal death for us. But the fact is it's still true. There's lots of times that I have to discipline my kids that they're not happy with. One thing we've learned about my daughter, she's very much like me. She's a foodie, as she's currently eating her like third bag of cheddar penguins. Yes. Second? Oh, I thought it was third. And so whenever she wants food and we say no, she just melts right down. And it doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes before dinner and we're putting food on the table. I say no and she melts right down. And you've had this experience with, if you've ever had to discipline a young child, you say no, they just melt right down. But what if you just stop? What if they're like, no, I want to put my hand on the stove while it's on? No. And then they cry. Oh, okay, well, you're crying. It doesn't matter. Go and do it anyways. There'd be a consequence to that. We don't like the idea that our brokenness can have a consequence to us. But the fact is it can. They say that imperfection, the fact that we don't always make the right choice, is what makes us human. I think it shows that we're broken. Because you don't have a problem with something that's just a part of who you are. You don't have a problem with something that is the way the world is supposed to be. Because if you have a problem with it, there's something wrong. The fact that we are imperfect, the fact that we don't always make the right choice, the fact that we're darkness and light is evidence that we're broken. There's evidence that there's something in us that doesn't belong there, and it's evidence that there's something not in us that should be there. So we were built to be directly sustained by God, to walk around with Him and to know Him every day. And not having that, we stumble around half complete. So Jesus hung on the cross, and people were hurling insults at Him. They were saying, why can't you fix this? Why can't you just pull yourself down so you won't die? If you're the Son of God, surely you could do that. And they were mocking Him, let's be clear. They weren't saying, pull yourself down and then we'll believe in you. They're saying, come on, pull yourself down, I dare you. They were making fun of Him. They didn't really expect Him to be able to do it. But see, Jesus wasn't going to settle for something that was less than a victory. He wasn't going to try and put a Band-Aid on a scar. He was trying to solve the real problem. He wasn't going to settle for comfort or making people temporarily happy, because He knew that there was this big, big problem looming. And that problem was the consequence of our brokenness. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, even a little bit of it, because even a little bit of sin permanently disconnects us from God. And that is the definition of death. That is the definition of what it means to be eternally in torment, is not being connected to God. So even as people spit on Him, even as they mocked Him and they forced a crown of thorns on His head, He knew what the ultimate problem was, and He knew what the ultimate solution was. And so Jesus was the perfect sacrifice to save a broken humanity. His death was needed as a trade for ours. In the Old Testament, there's this thing called the sacrificial system. And what the Jews had to do regularly was they had to bring lambs, and they had to bring goats and rams and all these different points and slaughter them on an altar and burn them up. And the reason for this, or so the Jews thought, was to forgive their sins. That they did this, and then if they did this, God was okay with them. But God was saying, you know what, this is only really a temporary cover. This is to show you that your sin causes death. And it's to show you what the real solution for this problem is going to look like. It's also going to look like death. So Jesus came and He died on the cross. But He didn't die to conquer the Romans. He didn't die to become a big leader. Or He didn't die to just make people feel comfortable in their everyday lives. He died to disarm the real problem that humanity was facing, which was death. You know, it was our sin, it was our brokenness that demanded death, but it was His death that happened instead. And we're going to talk about this a lot more on Sunday, but this isn't the whole thing. The Bible actually says that if we only have hope in the cross on this life, that if through the cross our sins are forgiven, but we die and just disappear, that we're to be pitied above all men. Because the cross is not the whole story. The cross is Jesus saying, there's a problem called death, and I'm going to break its hold over you. The price for sin has still been paid, but we're still dead ourselves. That the Bible says through this disconnect, because we're born not connected to God anymore, we're born spiritually dead. And through the cross, we have that ability to step back up to God and say, I want life again. And so when so many people come into Christianity and they say, you know, when I became a Christian and things aren't automatically all perfect, things aren't automatically going exactly the way I want them to go, I just look back to these people who are hurling the insults at Jesus. Things don't always go the way we want them to, but God knows what the real problem is. There was a time in the Bible where Jesus sent out some of the people who were following him, and he sent them out to go minister. And as they were wandering around, they were encountering people who were demon-possessed, and they were casting the demons out. They were encountering people who were sick, and they were healing them. And they came back, and they were over the moon. They were ecstatic. They were saying, look at all this power that's happening through us, through your name. And Jesus said, don't rejoice that the demons are responding to you. Rejoice that your name is written in God's book of life. Because that's the real, real problem, is this eternity that we face. So God built us to have a relationship with him. And God offers us an eternal relationship with him as a choice. Because if it's not a choice, it's not a relationship. I have a dog, and my dog was abused prior to when we got him. And yes, our dog is Shiloh. And he was abused prior to when we got him. And he really didn't like me. He must have been abused by a guy, but he really didn't like me. If I got anywhere near him, he would just pee all over the floor and shake. And I had a friend who said, you know what you need to do is you need to tie a leash to your belt, a really short one, and leash the dog on the other end. Because then the dog learns he doesn't have a choice. He can't go anywhere. And I said, yeah, but that doesn't feel like love to me. That doesn't feel like I'm getting him to trust me. It feels like I'm not giving him a choice. And so God wants a relationship with us. If he wanted to just overwhelm you and force you to do everything his way, it wouldn't be a relationship. You'd be a slave. And so that's why it's a choice. That's why even as God's restored this relationship, we still have to step up and go, God, I want this. We still have to step up and say, you know what? I know that I have a problem in me, and I know that through your death, you paid that price. So I want that relationship with you. Because it's a choice that we make. Because a relationship is not a relationship without a choice. And so this is where we're going to end. We're ending a little bit early. But this is the point that we're going to end. On a Friday, a few thousand years ago, Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, but that was not the end of the story. That on the Sunday, he came back to life, and we can step into that eternal life with him. That we can get reconnected back to the source of life. And how much of a big difference that makes for us. So why don't we stand and we're going to pray. And then the worship team's going to come up and just sing a quick little song. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for Good Friday, God. We thank you that through your death, we know you tackled the ultimate problem, which is death. That you took on the consequence of the bad decisions we make, that disconnect between us and God, and that you paid the price that was demanded of us, God. And so we know that you still give us a choice. We know that you still allow us to step up and say, God, this is something I want because it's a relationship that you want with us. And so we just pray that you'd help us to honor that, God. You'd help us to understand that. You'd help us to live more and more with it every single day, knowing that you don't ask us to be perfect. You don't ask us to always follow you in complete perfection, God, but you just ask us to always look to you. You ask us that as many times as we can, that we just seek you and that we give you whatever and everything that we are, God. And so we just come before you today, God, and we say thank you so much for the cross. Thank you so much for dying for us, God. Thank you so much for the sacrifice, knowing that it was a debt that we could never pay. And so, God, we just give ourselves to you, and we pray that you help us to recognize and just praise your death, God, but then to also step into that life that you have for us, that eternity that you have for us. In your name we pray. Amen.